Hey, everybody. Great show today. We discuss onboarding new people to the NFT space and what's going on in the NFT market right now. The volume has been flat. If anything, it may be even going down. And this week, there are a lot of macroeconomic forces that could have a negative impact on the market. We saw Bored Ape Yacht Club, CloneX, Doodles, Moonbirds, the what's what of quality NFT projects pull back. We also discussed 10KTF Gucci Grail having a news event and whether it makes sense to hold your Gucci Grail through that news event. As always, this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, where we talk all things NFT market. What's going down? What's blowing up? And who's showing up? I'm P.O. here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Signal, King Kicks, Easy Eats Bodega. We got some dope speakers on stage, Manny and Quad as well. We're going to get right into it and talk all things NFT market, everything that's going on, and what the stories are of the NFT space. I see some badasses in the crowd. Shout out to Guido Di Sale, a very talented artist. Don't commonly see him listening to the show, so great to have him in the crowd. Before we go any further, Nifty Nick, what's going on?
Good morning, Pia. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
You know, I've been having a spiritual experience this morning as I explore that which is within my soul in the external universe. I've found the planets have been misaligned, leading to a series of poor trades this weekend, costing me thousands of dollars. However, thanks to the guidance of Marin, my spiritual Sherpa, who clearly also enjoys the art of sensuality, I have identified the deep flaws in my strategy. As Venus enters the cavern of Uranus, it's clear to me that I bought the heck out of the top. This was at the foundation, the result of the full moon, which has caused a deep crack in the trading strategies of top traders, including myself. What I suggest is that you call 1-900-FULL-MOON, and at that number, you can get yourself a daily astrological trading forecast read directly by Marin. Thank you. That's what I've been dealing with this morning. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to call that number, that's for sure.
1-900-FULL-MOON, where there's nothing other than astrological forecasts. Keep that in mind. It's purely astrological trading forecast and nothing more. 1-900-FULL-MOON. Not to be confused with anything else.
Well, first of all, this is my new favorite character, no question. Second, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not sure what Nick is referencing, you know, everybody was trading based off of Marin Altman's astrology. She hadn't missed in a while. She was even making calls that were correct months out to the day when it came to trading Bitcoin and Ethereum. And she had a prediction that through the 28th, so 3 days from now, the crypto markets were going to pump, but they haven't.
Well,
I think, yeah.
That's why you must call 1-900-FULL-MOON. You can get your daily astrological trading forecast read to you by Marin. That is not to be confused with anything other than astrological trading forecasts. Full moon.
Wow. Well, that was awesome. You got the music still going.
I'm just, enjoying the spirituality. There you go. Is Pio even there anymore? What just happened? You got knocked out?
No, I'm here. I'm not.
He got hit with like what? Was there some incense? You got too big of a inhale of the Nag Champa.
The music
incense?
Put him into a trance.
Yeah, I was in a trance. I actually started floating away from my desk.
It must have also been the dance that I was doing that was entranced. You were entranced by.
Well, we're going to have to get that on the live stream so everybody can see the dance. Okay, so you bought the top, it sounds like, per Marin's advice. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I sold out fairly quickly, but I went big, and so I lost like $2,000 in about 5 minutes. And I was like, all right, we're good. That was fun. Cool game. For a moment, I was up, and then immediately, like literally, had I waited 2 more minutes, I would have perfectly bought the top. Like, it would have been absolutely perfect, but I was not going to hold on to it on the way down. But it was entertaining nonetheless, and so I had a fun series of tweets based on that. But yeah, I was in and then out quite quickly.
Yeah.
It was like the biggest red candle I've ever seen.
Ben, literally. And Ben was like, he's going to be out in 6 minutes. I was gone in three. Like, I don't even know what I was doing. Like, actually, I received a text message. I'm not going to name to protect the guilty. I'm not gonna name who it was, but I got a text. I'm going bit long, and I was like, I'm joining you, and I'm doubling your position. I'll take the same thing. And then immediately it went against the trade. Initially, it was looking promising. It had a powerful green candle, which then, if you look at the 15-minute chart, it's literally this huge spike up followed by this massive spike down. And it was quite destructive.
Sorry for that text, Nick. My bad, dude. It's like texting good. A fellow addict. Like, you only want to go do a shot.
Kix was like, I'm in. I don't want to name. Kix is like, I'm in for, we'll just say 50 ETH. That wasn't the amount. But I'm in for 50 ETH. And I'm like, oh, 50 ETH? I'll do 100 ETH. Like, let's fucking go, baby. And so then, it was bad. It looked
good for about like 5-6 minutes there. It was looking real good.
No, it wasn't even 5 minutes. It was about 60 seconds, I would say, to 60 to 120 seconds, somewhere in that range.
It was looking real good. If you modeled out the gains for the first minute over like a couple of hours, you know, that's generational wealth.
Yeah, that's what I was anticipating. I was like, I'm a genius. That's when I tweeted. And then immediately, promptly, that tweet went out. And I think some social media monitoring system was like, uh-oh, he bought.
Yeah, the algos picked it up.
Yeah, Nick, everybody's just inverse trading your posts now. Like, the entire ETH network, whenever they see one of your posts, they're like, okay, go the opposite.
You know what I'm going to start doing is, that, like, I should just start tweeting it without even making a trade. And we can just verify that fact right now. Like, I'm going to say, went long in a very big way.
And you're shorting.
And see what happens. Yeah, exactly.
ETH to three digits now.
Or maybe I just go out and say, like, shorted in a very big way, and then I'll just take the counter position. It is weird, though. Like, it's interesting. If you make a serious trade on, like, Gemini, for example, almost without fail, in the minute that follows that trade, it just moves in the opposite direction of whatever that trade is. That's always been my experience. And I mean, if you're holding long term, it doesn't really matter. So it doesn't make a difference. But it does feel like you're basically counter trading someone who knows much better than you and is making money off of you.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing's hilarious. Someone in the Discord posted a screenshot that has the chart. So you see that massive, massive red candle after the sizable green candle. And they pasted your tweet and put it, like, you know, right at that top. It's like right here. Nick said, went heavy, long.
Thanks for doing that, team.
That's what we call a classic Sunday scam pump. They're actually more common than you think.
Just shaking out some newbies, I guess.
Yeah, because it's low volume on the weekends, you know, so they can kind of manipulate a little more.
I'm gonna take that image and tweet that out so people are clear on what went down there. So, I mean, at least I'm transparent with it. That's the other thing is also, yeah. I mean, I feel like it would be worse if you were like front running the audience or something like that, but I don't think that we're powerful enough to drive crypto markets. I'm gonna be honest. I feel like our tweets have zero to very little influence over it.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you there. But diving into some NFT stuff, although that is hilarious, and I could talk about, you know, erasing $4,000 of your net worth in 5 minutes all day. Signal, hope you had a good weekend. What's going on this morning?
Yeah, very good weekend, folks. Very good. No, it was good. I actually tried to do some trading as well this weekend, but I couldn't find a position, and I just didn't feel confident, and I was like, no, I'm going to close the computer, and I went away. And how Nick is talking about the markets, it reminds me like when I first started learning to surf, and you're out there on your own, no more instructor, and you're trying to read the water, and you're like, this is it. And you think the wave's coming, and you like turn around, and you start like paddling as fast as you can, and then you realize, no, that's not it. And then you go back out again, and then you try again. And every time you think you think you have the position, but you don't. And then eventually you just end up going home, getting wiped out by pretty much nothing. So Nick,
I was going to say, or if you're me, what happens is behind that smaller wave that came was a giant tsunami that just smashed you into the ground. And
with a great white shark in it.
I'm like hobbling out with like half my leg missing at this point, but at least I survived, so we're good.
Oh, then I'm really happy I didn't trade the markets, because that's what I couldn't see coming, and I was like, nah, I'm not feeling it. So I didn't do any trading this weekend, unfortunately. I am more at the moment looking at crypto than at NFTs, just because I prefer the volatility. But yeah, let's see what happens this week. On to some weather. Do you guys want to hear some weather?
Well, real quick, I just wanted to point out the difference between someone that doesn't have an impulsive gambling addiction signal. She's like, yeah, you know, actually, I'm not comfortable deploying capital in this market. I think I'm just going to take the day off. Meanwhile, Kix and Nick are just looking for any excuse to literally put six figures into the market in one go on a Sunday evening. If only people that were having a nice Sunday brunch with their families could understand.
I love how Kix was like, yeah, that was a Sunday scam pump. I bought it anyway.
I didn't have a position. Like, there was nothing, there wasn't even a setup. I just got the text message and I'm like, is it go time? It's go time. Let's go. Like, that was the full extent.
What happened to the journal?
I threw all caution to the wind. Well, the journal is now like, I received a text message from Nick.
Your journal is now a diary.
Well, it's always been all along, but I think it's a mixture of my emotions followed by a trade that I made. So I'm not quite sure. I like to pretend that it was systematic, but it's not by any means.
I want to read that journal entry. That's going to be fun. So, let's throw to Signal for the weather report. Can't wait to hear it. Then I'm really excited about some of the people that we have on stage. I see Wappy raise his hand. He hasn't been on the show in a while. Can't wait to talk to him. But, Sig, take it away.
Yeah, so after a good weekend, it's Monday, the 25th of July. Let's look at volume. Well, overnight, we're back at 15 million. So we're back into this mid-teens on the volume. Not so great because we were at 21 on Friday. On to the leaders. We've got apes at 87, mutants at 17, and punks at 75. So the top category has pulled back. Moonbirds is at 20, Doodles is at 10, and Clonex is at 9. So seeing a similar pattern there as well. Overnight, Zekai, I think it's pronounced, that it's leading the OpenSea ranks. That mint happened 3 days ago and was mentioned during the show last week. Lots of activity during the weekend, and that floor is at 0.59 ETH. The potatoes from Meme Land was another winner of the weekend. The collection minted again during the show last week, so that was about 4 days ago. It shot up to one ETH on Saturday, and after the team announced upcoming staking and benefits, that floor is at 0.7 ETH. And Micah Johnson's Aku Time Cover magazine caught the attention of the space over the weekend. Raul Powell, AJ Vaynerchuk, Cosmo Medici all minted. That mint ends today and it's going for 0.1 ETH. And lastly, Gary Vee announced that there's utility for Mint Mink. Anyone holding either Series 1 or 2 of that NFT will have access to allow lists, airdrops and free mints from new and emerging NFT projects. The Series 2 Mint Mink is now 1.9 ETH floor, so that shot up after that news. On to crypto, BTC is at 21.9K, while ETH is at 1,535. So we've seen that crypto sell-off that Nick was talking about. Overall, all of the top collections have pulled back over the weekend. It's been a while since we've seen Moonbirds at 20 and Clone X at 9 ETH. This is really because of the movement that's happening on the crypto side. We're also seeing the alts sell off. Let's watch and see how they behave as we go into the later week and broader macro news comes in. Overall, we might be at peak summer on the outside, but on the inside of the market, it's a bit of a doldrum. So for now, the 24-hour forecast is light showers. Back to you guys.
Fantastic weather report signal. Go ahead, Nick.
There's the thing with the Aku, it's a weird structure of a drop because the drop is on OpenSea. What's also interesting, it's literally using the OpenSea contract as well. So it's OpenSea contract, and then they're just listing, they're causing, they're creating the floor price. So the floor price could jump up like 40% or higher right after the mint is done. There's like 3 hours left, it looks like. So that ends at noon today, Eastern. So that one actually is kind of interesting. It's a weird structure, though. After seeing this, I would never do this, primarily because it forces the floor to remain where it is. Whereas if you mint on your own contract, there could be secondary sales that have a different price action. It's just kind of weird to me.
The thing is how often with a 24-hour edition style mint do you actually get secondary action above floor? I guess in theory you could. This one's really interesting. Obviously, everybody knows that I'm an Aku bull, and I'm a big holder of the Aku TARS and the chapters and everything. And this is a pretty big deal that Time Magazine, has this project on the cover. I guess there might have been some... I don't know about a technical issue or something at first with the OpenSea drop, but it seems good to go now. It looks like about just under 1,800 have been minted. And like you said, in 3 hours, it's going to be done. So that'll be closed. A couple good things that they did. They have a mechanic where there's going to be a snapshot afterwards. I think it's in a couple of days or potentially in the next week, where that snapshot is for the physical, I think. I'm not sure exactly what it's for. It's for like the physical, but also like sketches. So basically limited edition collectibles. So that's a mechanic that's designed to incentivize you to buy this and to hold it into the snapshot. And so I was talking to some Aku holders that were hitting me up about this, and I was like, this could definitely be a really good trade if people are interested in getting those other collectibles, especially if there's people that are holding Akutars, because if you hold this NFT in the same wallet as your Akutars, I think the more that you have of this and the more you have of Akutars is an influence on your odds in the raffle. So in other words, the more you have, the better your odds are. So it could be a trade going into that snapshot. Given the state of the market, I don't think it's going to be like some crazy, 5X or 10X, but it could be a 50%, 60% gain, which is like pretty normal in the NFT market. But like Signal said, we're seeing like this pullback across basically all NFT projects. It's kind of nuts. It's definitely tough to tell whether this will be a smash hit trade or whatever. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I also sound like you want to say something, Signal.
No, I was going to say, I think that if from a trading perspective on this one, it's whether you can, I see it as is whether you can win the lottery to end up with the rarer covers, because there'll be one which I believe doesn't have the time red border. And then there's going to be the original sketches which were used to make the cover airdrop to people who have this NFT plus time pieces, I believe, plus Akutar. So there's some kind of mix of NFTs you need to have to end up potentially winning the rarer cover. If you end up winning that, I think, fantastic. It's a great payday. I'm not sure if just on the common covers what the market's going to do here, because as Pio was saying as well, it's just a funky time. The markets are in a doldrum at the moment. So trading activity is a bit on the weaker side at the moment across the markets.
Kicks, you unmuted. Was there something you wanted to add?
Yeah, let's just keep the flow going. I was just I was just looking at some different stats and stuff like that, because I do think right now is just not a good time to buy NFTs in general, unless you have a short-term trade opportunity. just because I think the prices actually could go down maybe by another 50% from here. What's really interesting is that when did ETH bottom out? I think ETH hit $1,000 like around like June 20th. Does that sound right? Or like that week?
Yeah, like mid-June-ish.
Yeah. So we were doing the same amount of USD volume then as we're doing now, but ETH has gone up by 60%. So that means that NFT volume went down by 60%.
Yeah, right. On a unit basis.
Well, not on a unit basis, on a ETH value, like relative basis.
Well, yeah, I mean, what Nick's saying is that because, you know, you're saying that ETH was cheaper then and the volume's the same, that there were more sales then, like more, like number of unit sales.
Yeah, but like if you look at the monthly NFT sold, it's not down a crazy amount month over month, but we're actually down almost $200 million from June to July, but we're only down 8% in volume.
Got it. Well, yeah, I mean, Nick, were you going to say something? Go ahead.
No, it was unrelated.
Okay. Well, I've been DMing Wappy about this, and I'm glad that Wappy's on stage. First of all, Wappy, we haven't talked to you since you got this crazy new profile picture. You're looking like a Texas oil baron. I feel like that's right on the money for you. You bought like a multi-$1,000 outfit just because you think it's cool and ridiculous. But you and me have been talking about, you know, NFT volume, buying NFTs right now, and what the story of the NFT space is. And obviously you're someone that did incredibly well last year trading NFTs and going into this year. And I know that you had mentioned that you'd been sitting on your hands a little bit. Like, what do you think the story is of the NFT market right now?
I don't think it's really changed that much since, like, I've said what I said probably like weeks or months ago, which is you need more new people in this space. And I don't see more new people coming into the space right now. I actually see a bunch of people on Twitter saying, we're losing a bunch of good men and women. We don't have as many memers. We don't have as many people in the space. So I think where I'm at with NFTs is it needs to get to a point where, like, you get excited about what the NFT is for, and you don't get as excited about, like, making tons and tons of money off of it. It needs to be something like, oh, I actually want to collect this because of XYZ, or I'm actually interested in this brand, or this is actually pretty cool. And I think part of that is, like, we've gotten so used to letting people sell us shit for like hundreds or thousands of dollars, and we just expect more is going to come with it. So my thesis for a long time has been that, like, prices have to compress, and, you know, you might still have your like CryptoPunks and top tier collections that trade for stupid amounts of money. But the general NFT market, I think as you keep going, prices have to keep getting lower and lower. Otherwise people won't care.
Wappy, I completely agree with that. And just to piggyback on what he said, the big thing is new entrants, right? Like, the space has to have new entrants for prices to even stay flat, much less go up. Because if you're just in we're getting ground out by fees. If there's no new entrants, like, you're just never going to be able to, like, get away from, like, the taxes on the ecosystem. And I just don't see anything that's really exciting. What's going to excite new entrants, like, into the space? You know what I mean? Like, the current meta is like garbage, dude. It's like the stupidest, like, ENS, like, BS that, you know, going around. There's like free mint crap that's just like pump and dumps. Like, imagine you're just like a new person coming into the space, and you're like, oh, this art piece looks cool, let me buy it for $200. You log in the next day, it's $15. It's like, oh, okay, like, that's fun. Yeah, I definitely want to stay here and keep participating in it. There's just not that much interesting stuff going on. So we need we need new interesting projects and new interesting things coming into the space that are going to attract new entrants. Because if that doesn't happen, I think that it's very possible that we see like moonbirds at 10 ETH, doodles, clone X at 5 ETH, that those kind of prices are not out of question.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Nick, you raised your hand. What's going on?
Well, I was just going to say, Wappy had his hand raised when we were discussing the trading side of things. I'm curious if that's what he had raised his hand for before. And also, by the way, your PFP looks like Scorpion.
It's Fatboy Slim, actually. And I've just been rocking out to him while I've been losing money leverage trading. So,
But yeah, I did raise my hand to comment on the Nifty Nick situation, because it's hilarious if you go and look at a group chat that I got with Quad and Easy and Picks. literally, as Nick is talking about Pico buying the top, I was like, boys, this is it. Get your shorts ready. It's 1660. It's time to short. So
well, if you're in that
a
group
going on at the same time, that's like taking the opposite position. So in the markets, it's a war. Nick, I'm happy I was on the other side of your war last night.
So what kicks were you? So you're in that group chat. You're seeing the message from Wappy. And then you're texting me this. Were you trying to undermine me? Is that what
Kicks
was going
usually
on?
Ignores me in there when Kicks I've got my trade
ideas. Shows up 4 hours later and goes, oh, shit, I missed this.
I longed ETH. I texted you, and then I just went into my study, packed a nice fine tobacco pipe, and I read one of the Dune prequels. You know, so
then
I
came out and realized you were a lot poorer.
Yeah, I came out and I was like, well, I feel kind of responsible for that series of tweets.
I mean, it's all good. I ended up exiting very quickly. Yeah, I don't.
You got to keep your feet chopping. You got to keep your feet chopping, and if you want to stay sharp, man. Okay, you can't play pro football if you take 5 years off. You can't be in this space if you just don't do nothing.
Got to stay in the game. That's what we were doing last night in a very degen way.
Yeah, sometimes you stay in the game and you get a serious concussion. You know what I mean?
I texted P.O. as well at the same time and was like, what we're explaining right now is a game of phone tag. Or a game of what's the it's just telephone.
Telephone.
A game of telephone. And one person's like, I went long. And the other person's like, I went short. The other person's like, I'm sitting out. Anyways, I texted Pio that I had bought. He responded hours later. I just bought. Should I sell? And I was like, dude, I was already out of that trade before you even entered it. Anyways, it's hilarious.
I put $4,000 in and I lost $36 in 3 minutes.
Yeah, the nice thing is Pio joined so late, he missed like probably 80%
of the
move down.
Yeah, exactly.
So he actually bought at a great price. My whole reason for buying was that I thought that we would see some follow-through action on NASDAQ this week. Of course, Wednesday and Thursday, there's some like significant news events, but that was my theory for buying. But you know, there isn't a perfect correlation between crypto and in NASDAQ. I also think more people in crypto follow Marin than like probably like traditional, you know, mutual fund managers that buy NASDAQ. So maybe some stuff over there. Wappy's got his hand up. Over to you.
Yeah, I mean, my thesis into this is that like everybody's been calling for ETH to go back up to the 1800 level. We keep stalling around this like 1550 level. And if you look at like what's coming this week, it's a shit week. It's not a good week. It's like a bunch of crappy earnings or big companies that are going to give you not great news. It's a Fed meeting with like 75 to 100 bip rate hike with another one coming. It's like, it's not a beautiful week. And the cheat code is watch futures and see what futures indicate.
But Wappy, we're not in a recession.
Yeah, technically, because the technical definition might be technically changing.
Yeah, so we're fine.
You're talking about the White House website that said two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth is not really a recession.
Yeah, that like some people think it is, but most economists agree that that's no longer the case. So
I want a refund from my college for telling me false information.
What's funny is the real technical definition now is only a few months of that instead of two quarters, so it's actually worse than they're saying. But I think it's funny that, you know, the definition itself is changing so they can imply we're not actually in a recession, even though like your breakfast sandwich has more than doubled every day.
You know, what's interesting is now when you Google what is a recession, the White House website shows up as number one on Google.
Yep. It's all inside baseball, baby. Just like punks. You should know, buddy. You're one of them.
The simulation is working perfectly, Nick. The simulation is working perfectly.
Yeah. But what do we got going on in the NFT space? This is the NFT morning alpha. I bought some potatoes. On Friday.
We got a potato farmer over here.
Yeah, I bought two potatoes. I was just like, could this be the next goblins, you know, with just like the kind of meme potential? So I'm up slightly on that. Some people in our Discord made some good money on casual sloths, which I just think has the funniest. Sloths are just so funny, and if you just look at like the pre-reveal image, it's just like sloth walking extra slow. I just love it, but that actually came in at 0.02. I think it may have been a free mint, but like you could have gotten those at 0.02. I think they peaked above 0.2, now at 0.15. So that was a nice little degen mint. But yeah, seeing lots of pullbacks and some of like, you know, the non BAYC slash punks blue chips. So like mutants below 17, moonbirds trying to hold on to 20, you know, Clonex at 9. You know, even Bored Ape down at 87, we're starting to see a little shakiness at the top. So, yeah, I'm not sure what the plays or the moves are.
I've been wondering about, man, the top end of the market. You already said it, which is you need more people coming in. But it's just like, do you is one question. Like the punk floor, for example, is one that's like fairly resilient. I mean, it's not when ETH crashes, it's not good. But on a USD basis, but on an ETH basis, the punk's floor has been fairly resilient. And so I also think that, and that's where actually a lot of the action is. The guy Punk's OTC, which is who I bought mine from, and does a lot of trading on there, seems to have a strategy of just accumulating ETH, but then simultaneously, and that's been working on the punks end of things. On the ape side of things, I was having a conversation last night, and someone was asking, well, what do you think the impact of for these like lawsuits with Yuga Labs and any of these other things, like what the impact of those things will be? And it's hard to tell, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely a situation where we're like, was this really worth all that much? And the most important thing, the biggest conclusion I had, though, was like, there's always been like this sort of divide between like collectibles and the art side of things. But the collectible side has been the majority of volume in the NFT space. I feel like those two things, both those things, there was a sort of, I think a lot of the artists would say, or at least the narrative I saw for a while was like, there's going to be a shift back to the art. And we saw that with art blocks, but I feel like these two things need to coexist. If you don't have the collectible side of things, I think a large amount of the art demand is actually coming from the people who made money in the collectible space. And that's something that's not fully understood. And you need that to exist in order for people to move to NFT arts, because all the traditional art, all the traditional art collectors just, for the most part, don't give a shit about NFTs.
Yeah. And also, I think that art doesn't really have strong communities built around them, maybe with like a few exceptions like Xcopy. But like it seems like the, you know, like the PFP projects have built a lot of like the community aspects. And that's kind of like the foundation of a lot of the market. Meester Node has his hand raised.
Nodester.
Good morning. Good morning. There was a stat. I don't know if it was already shared, but, you know, it was on Saturday, the volume for the top sets, I mean, basically all the blue chips combined, was like the lowest it's been since November. And in November, a lot of these sets didn't even exist. So that's an interesting stat. I've been wondering, you know, I think if we stay on pace in about another month or two, we're overdue for another, you know, quote unquote blue chip to drop, right? So I'm kind of trying to keep my eye out on that. But like everyone else has been saying, there's not a lot going on. There, I do have one question for the king. There's been a lot of, obviously a lot of hype around the other side stuff, but one kind of potentially dark horse that I'm seeing on the gaming side is Treeverse. Like I'm not a gamer, but any of those previews that I keep seeing pop up on Twitter, like the art of the game looks like it's the best, and it looks like they're moving along. What's your opinion on old Treeverse, Captain King?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Loopify, and I think that like what his team is building with Treeverse, they're doing a really, really good job. They're taking their time and they're focusing on like delivering a quality product over delivering a bunch of, you know, vaporware hype. You know what I mean? To like, you know, pump prices or pump secondary volume. I also agree with you. I love their art style. I think it's just such a, you look at the art style and it just makes you feel good, right? So I think that the game is definitely going to have is going to, you know, have like some success. It looks like a fun game to play. I actually had a similar thought process as you knowed, and I tried to figure out because there's a couple of different things that you could buy in their like overall collection. You know, there's the Treeverse plots. And then there's like the, they call them like the timeless characters. And just, so it says, what are Treeverse founders, Lance, utility-based NFTs that allow holders to place in the game world and has the following benefits: public homes, better custom ability, like rent them out, teleport destination, like extra storage space. And so this is an interesting kind of thing with all, games in general or all Web3 games in general is it's not just like, is the game going to be fun to play or going to be able to like attract players, but like what is the value of the NFTs in the ecosystem and then like how to like price the value of those things in the ecosystem. So like the tricky thing for me with like the plot is like if the plot is like you just can like build homes on it and you can like rent them out and there's like extra storage space, I don't know how, like, if that's really worth one ETH or whatever the floor is at, right? And then also with the timeless characters, the tricky thing there is that, like, if they make the characters, like, inherently better in the game, then you're not really going to attract mass adoption. No one wants to play a game where just because someone has, like, an NFT, their base character is inherently better than you. So I think the project's definitely going to be, successful. Or has a high chance of being successful from like a player standpoint. I'm just trying to figure out like in the ecosystem, like what is the best spot to like speculate on? Like you would think it would probably be like the plots. I did tweet out that I was like, I don't feel like the value prop for the plots is strong enough for me to want to buy them at these prices. And some people said that like maybe some more stuff is like coming for it that'll make it like more attractive, but like, yeah, in terms of like an exciting game to watch out for, it's definitely way up there on the list for me.
I think that it has a lot to do with this, the same thing as other deed, which is just how long people are willing to wait. So we're in the process of getting one of our investors, Maddie DCL Blogger, to come on the show. And, you know, I've mentioned him a few times. He famously bought a lot of Decentraland during 2018. He got into the NFT space right as like the last crypto cycle was finishing. So he's like the number one person I want to talk to about this kind of stuff. So looking forward to having him on. Kix, was there something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to have him on and talk to him about it because I actually have done a lot of research over the weekend just to like develop my like forward-looking metaverse, specifically metaverse land thesis, and I'm actually like net super bearish on metaverse land, even though I own a decent amount.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, I could see that. So, you know, we were talking about onboarding new people to the NFT market, right? Wappy's big on that. I mean, it makes sense, right? You need new participants coming in. Otherwise, how the hell is the space going to grow? And when you think about the amount of chips, I mean, it makes sense to me that they're dipping. Like, again, Bored Apes under 90 Ethereum, Moonbirds flirting with under 20 Ethereum, Mutant Ape Yacht Club comfortably under 20 Ethereum. There's a lot of, there's a lot of reason to think that we need new participants. However, I see Manny and Easy up here. There are new participants joining Solana. Like, am I wrong about that? Like, Solana is growing right now for NFTs, correct?
Easy said it's a
yeah. I posted yesterday about the stats. It looks like we're finally plateauing on like volume and new users declining. So it looks like we're now just getting consistent new wallet signers and volume. I mean, like we still had some decent volume and there's still some hype mints like this project Fruits that just launched. I don't really know why it's flying, but it is. It's up to
top 10 volume on OpenSea right now.
Yeah, so they did this interesting dynamic pricing launch that was similar to a Dutch auction, but if buying pressure increased, the price would up instead of just constantly down. So it was like trying to find a balance on it, and we saw it get as low as 1.7, 1.8, and then actually get all the way back over the initial mint cost. So it had a new pricing model that got a lot of people interested, and that's I think, what drew a decent amount of volume. But other than that, it's just a lot of speculation. We're still seeing like money flow out with SOL now dipping back under 40. I'm hoping it ranges in the 35 to 40 range so that NFTs can get a kick. But other than that, I mean, up until like last month, we were uptrending new users. And since then, it's been a steady decline.
Okay, fair. So I actually would have thought that maybe that Solana was still onboarding people at a decent rate. Manny, was there anything you wanted to add to that? And then I'll throw to Uncle.eth, who's a new speaker.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I don't see a whole lot of new dot soul people coming in, and I just liquidated almost everything except my PFP, and I'm just sitting in USDC looking to buy all these blue chips at a discount. And 26 is my timed bottom, but we'll see what happens.
Where's that date coming from?
The YouTube rabbit hole that I went down that is calling XRP the devil.
Okay. Manny's bearish, ladies and gentlemen. So we got Uncle.eth. Uncle, it says that you are a crypto enthusiast NFT degen. Looks like you got a gutter clone as your picture. What's on your mind? I don't believe you've ever spoken on this show before. What's going on?
No, I actually haven't spoken on the show before. I've been here for a few months listening to you guys. Love it every morning, getting some different outlook, getting the weather reports. I love to hear different perspectives. But I wanted to talk about the mass adoption part. Saying that, you know, I speak to people, normies, people that aren't really in the NFT space, and they're really more focused on a few things. They're thinking about security. You know, you hear all the apes every day getting hacked and all these phishing scams. They're worried about a few things: security, profit. Some of them don't even think you're a profit. A lot of people are down badly. And then a lot of people are either really up, so they think, all right, can I really make that 100 times profit, or am I going to lose money like everyone else coming into the space nowadays? So a lot of people have issues coming into the space. It also costs the fees and things like that. It's a big thing to onboard new people. And I don't think we have more than, let's say, 50,000 or 100,000 people really doing NFTs like us weekly, daily, or even monthly. Most people are just scared to get their feet wet.
Yeah, I mean, we need the user interface to definitely improve. The other thing is that it doesn't help that the cycle just kind of like, you know, went kind of the way that it does, which is going down, and people don't feel like they can get in and make money. That's why I was optimistic about Solana, because, you know, there's no gas fees. You can get in. You don't have to spend that much money. It's possible. Quad just raised his hand. I don't know if you want to add to this, Quad. Then we'll throw to Mend, who just joined and said that he had a question. Quad, what's going on?
Yeah, I just don't think you can see a big influx of users when in the outside world, like, nobody has any extra money to spend. You know, this big NFT thing was kind of this perfect storm of people getting written checks by the government. You know, if you did keep your job, you probably weren't going out to eat three times a week. You weren't going to the bar. So you had all this extra money to spend. Now on the outside, the tables have turned. It's more expensive. It's more expensive to go out. It's more expensive to drive your car. And so people aren't, you know, taking their extra spending money and putting it into something as volatile as NFTs and crypto. And so I just don't see a full turnaround happening anytime soon if people just don't have any money on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a very sober way to look at it, and I tend to agree with you. The amount of money that was printed in the 18 months after March 2020 was greater than like something like the previous 80 years or something like that. It's a completely ridiculous statistic when you look into it, and it's real, which is just bonkers. So Mend CERN, you got a Bored Ape, you got a Kennel Dog, says that you're working on some stuff, but you said you wanted to ask a question. I don't believe you've been on the show before. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. I have been a long time ago on the show, but I've been listening every day and enjoying it every day.
Thank you.
My question today is, I saw Ledger is minting today a Genesis Pass, and I'm wondering, is it just for their NFT marketplace, which is probably going to look like Coinbase's marketplace, or does any of you have any more information about the mint of the Genesis Pass today from Ledger?
anybody know anything about the Ledger NFT? This is a rough day to drop an NFT, but they're obviously a huge, huge brand in the NFT space, and things like that that are like kind of utility focused tend to do okay. Does any insight into the Ledger NFT mint?
Yeah, I know a bit about the Ledger NFT mint. I put my name down for the raffle to see if I'd be able to mint, but unfortunately, I'm on the wait list. I think this NFT, what Ledger are trying to do, looks very interesting, just simply because of their position in the market and the partnerships that they will be able to get. Obviously, I think it will depend on, can they consistently get good partnerships coming in? Because what I always see is these sorts of drops, these Genesis Pass drops, they always start with a bang. So they'll have like a huge artist name, or they'll have a huge, 10K PFP. I'm just going to give an example because everyone's excited for Meme Land. So they'll start off with something really big, and then they'll go really, really silent afterwards. So I'm going to keep an eye on it. I'm not sure if I'm going to buy one now. I'll buy later when I see what other names they're able to get for their drops. But I think Ledger is a name. You know they're here to stay. You know they're trusted by all the projects out there. But it's just whether they can get the hype and the marketing and the partnerships in place to be good for the whole year and not just 1 month.
It also sounds like you... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it also sounds like you get, I don't know, just limited edition Ledgers. I don't know, like, is that something that you want to pay?
VCon Ledger goes for a decent chunk of change.
So you're going to buy someone else's, that's just like a security vulnerability. Like, I'm not going to buy some.
But your hope Ledger is that you get a Ledger that's still sealed, obviously. Like, you're not selling an opened one, but like, there is like collectible Ledgers.
It would be worth a scammer just resealing a Ledger real quick to send it to you beforehand to get, all your NFT. Yeah.
I just wouldn't buy, that's one of the primary places where apparently Amazon.com notoriously had some fake Ledgers that were on there where people had installed, or they were real Ledgers, but someone had installed some sort of hacking software on there. I don't know. It just feels like a security vulnerability not to get it directly from Ledger. It's cool, but I'm also never in a public space where I'm showing off my Ledger. Like, I don't want people to see it. I don't want them to see my Ledger. Then we got a situation. I don't know. It's just something. That's an area where I like to keep outside of defining best practices and sharing that for other people. I prefer to keep my keys and my security devices as hidden as possible.
So what was interesting is I was talking to the Ledger team at VCon, and they wear their Ledgers like a necklace. They do. I've spoken to them in different cities. If you go there, you'll see them wearing them like a necklace. And I asked him, isn't it really dangerous to have just carry your Ledger around with you? Don't you feel like you literally have your assets on your wrist? And he was like, well, at the end of the day, how is someone going to get the seed phrase for it?
With torture. A gun?
They're
going to waterboard you.
They're not carrying you. Hopefully, you're not carrying your seed phrase around with you. Secondly, even if someone tried to extract it from you, good luck. I don't know it.
Need the seed phrase. You literally just need a gun and the fact that you say, give me the assets on that Ledger. I don't understand. I don't know. It just feels, I understand that's not a common practice, but it just feels like at a certain point you're being, not only am I not just wearing a watch, I'm now flexing my entire jewelry collection. Can you imagine walking around with someone who collects jewelry? I don't. But someone who has an immense jewelry collection wearing the whole thing on them. That would just be ridiculous.
Since I'm up here, I want to ask Easy about the sweepers. It's a very hyped mint on Solana. And I just want to ask what...
For the love of God, do not buy that.
Okay. There you amazing. Go. You got your answer. Go ahead, Easy.
It's a six-soul mint by an individual who's trying to raise $2 million with the primary utility being sweeping other projects' floors.
Well, look at that. It sounds like it makes sense. Two things real quick. The idea of Nick, you know, checking somebody for going after his ledger. I just love picturing that. Just Nick handling his business. That's number one. And then real quick, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but collectible ledgers is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard. All right. So I just want to put that out there. But Nick, go ahead.
I'm curious because I interrupted a signal. Like what? Would you actually do that? And what's your take on it?
No, I would never wear, like, in no what, of all the jewelry to wear in the world, if anyone has met me, I'm not walking around with a ledger around my neck, even if they made it super beautiful. I'm just not. It's, yeah, I agree. It's you know, but hey, if you want to do that because you like that, then that's okay. But from a security perspective as well, even if, like, I just don't feel comfortable, like, carrying it around with me. I'd rather just have it where it is. But from their side, when I was talking to the representatives there, and you know, this was somebody coming from the engineering team, they were just so confident at the end of the day, like, you would need the seed phrase in order to be able to access the assets on it, that is actually safe to carry around. But this is obviously, you know, this is Ledger. They're in their office. They are walking around. Like, everybody who works there has one. So I don't know. I think maybe they were sort of confusing space and sort of marketing conferences, because I haven't seen anyone carry a Ledger on the street.
I can only
ever
imagine a rapper in 3 years from now wearing 3 gold Ledgers on their neck.
It's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Rappers,
they already
know better.
Are. There's an image. Some rapper had like a diamond encrusted ledger around his neck. So
shout out Lil Baby.
Was it Lil Baby?
Yeah, I think he's got
like 3 mutants. It was Lil Baby, I promise you.
There's nothing on it either. It's just the ledger itself. There's no NFTs even stored on it.
Well, look at that. I guess we're trending towards rappers having iced out ledgers. All right, we got a few people on stage that we want to hear from. But Wappy or Ben, you've had your hand raised. What's going on, Ben?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something that I saw before. If you guys are fans of Chipotle, they're encouraging fans to buy the dip with a new $200,000 prize pool crypto game. So if you're interested in that, they're opening it up today at, looks like, 1 p.m. Eastern at chipotlebuythedip.xyz. And they're creating a game. You could potentially win 1 cent guac and avocado, or $200,000 worth of crypto in the prize pool.
Are you going to participate, Ben?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? I'm down to get some guac or crypto.
Yeah, no, I hear you. We got H-Man Harrison. So you are, according to your bio, you're 24 years old. You got Bored Ape Yacht Club, Mutant Ape Yacht Club, Bored Ape Kennel Club since June 2021. You've never listed. You're also an Aku Moon God. So you and I have a lot of the same NFTs, buddy. What is on your mind? What's going on?
What's up, man? First time speaking up on your show. You guys are awesome. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
I kind of wanted to talk about the onboarding of new people, because I do think that is the major hurdle that we're going to have in regards to, you know, the next bull run. As you can see, I'm rocking that Nickelodeon profile picture now. I thought that drop was pretty cool for onboarding some new people. You were able to buy it. It was $50. You could buy it even with Apple Pay. There was no gas, so not a lot of obstacles for new people to be onboarded. Obviously, we saw that make a run and come off of its highs. We'll see if that makes another run, but either way, it's sitting at about a 4X, so I think that was a pretty good first experience for a lot of people in the space.
Yeah, I mean, look, all of these traditional IP brands are going to bring that IP to digital collectibles, and the way that they do that is on blockchain technology, whether it's Ethereum or something else. This is obviously a really big 90s brand that came forward with their IP, and yeah, we saw that initial pump. Now it's just hard to tell, to see how the market prices this stuff, to see if it's a situation where it's just like, oh, that's the first Nickelodeon NFT, and thus that is a valuable collectible. They don't have to do anything, or if the market is wondering whether Nickelodeon understands the NFT space and understands how to drive secondary market volume to digital collectibles. These are the questions that people are going to ask. You're going to see it from Disney. You're going to see it from brands like Star Wars, comic book brands. You're going to see official releases. Obviously, Vivi already has this. People that have studied the Vivi market would be good to weigh in on something like this, but my understanding is that Vivi, their market is also down in terms of price, like from its all-time highs. So yeah, it's hard to tell which way the traditional IP or like the IP from outside the NFT space collectibles game is going to do. I'd imagine that long term it does well, unless these brands operate like the NBA and NBA Top Shot, where they just keep making NFTs and selling them because they think that they're selling, like, you know, lunch boxes or something. They think they're selling backpacks, and it's like, no, you have like an ecosystem to manage, and there's value on the secondary market that has to be focused on for these projects. Otherwise people will stop buying the new mints that you put out. Quad, you raise your hand, what's going on?
Yeah, I think there was something really important that he said there at the end, is that was a good first experience for a lot of people. And so I think that, A, that's really, really important when it comes to getting someone that wants to step through the door, actually stepping through the door, minting something or buying something on secondary and it going up. My question for some of the people here is, what do you do and how do you onboard more people when their first experience right now is probably 99% going to be losing money and terrible? So it's almost like it compounds during a bear market, because not only do you get a brand new person in, but it's so hard to keep them because everything's so weird.
It's hard, man. It really is. And like Wappy said, this week is a gnarly week. Quite. Did you make money on potatoes? I know you bought potatoes at 0.6 and they went up to like 1 ETH. Did you sell that pump?
I bought back in at a rare, so I'm probably right about even on potatoes now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just tough when there's so few opportunities to actually have your assets appreciate or even hold value in a lot of instances. That's why I had brought up Solana earlier. The other thing is that user interface has to improve. The bottom line is, like, when you zoom out and you think like the next 6 years, it's totally reasonable to think that we'll onboard a lot of people. Obviously, I mean, this was the first hype cycle for NFTs. You saw people even get onboarded to, like, you know, traditional crypto like Bitcoin and altcoins, even though, you know, they've been around for years. So it is like a cyclical game that we play. But you know, in the moment when we do this show every single day, the idea that this week is going to be a big week to onboard people is just tough. I think big entities that have really dedicated fan bases, like let's say Barstool Sports or something like that, was to make an NFT project, I think that could be a big onboarding event, as long as they actually did it right. The thing is so many of these big brands have already fucked it up that it's not necessarily a sure thing to make something like that work. But I could see if a big brand like that did it right, it could onboard people. But if the rest of the market isn't moving just because of where we're at in the cycle, it might be like wasted momentum, you know, because you can't bring, like, one brand's not going to bring the whole NFT market with them, especially if they're from outside the NFT market. Uncle.eth, you raise your hand again. What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about that. So the Rugrats is run by Recur, which is Viacom CBS, and they're trying to onboard, you know, regular people every day with their IP, but they haven't been doing so great. They did the Star Trek where they had like a 12,000 amount for like $300, and then they ended up cutting it short to a few thousand, and now their original mint that you have to buy, like their portal pass, the Recur pass, is also under mint price. So like, also they're having issues people minting them because it's credit card. People aren't sending crypto, so they have to wait for the transaction to actually process with Apple, whatever, Visa, MasterCard. So a lot of people also getting turned down and getting failed transactions. So they're not also having the best time, even though they have an IP to play with.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's been electric, right? Like, I think it's safe to say that it hasn't been electric. It's at a 0.11 floor, which is down 75% from its all-time high. Node, you raise your hand. What's going on?
Yeah, I just think, you know, what's the very first question that anyone asks you, right, when they want to learn about NFTs? That, at least they ask me, they say, hey, where do I go to buy them? You know, do I just go to OpenSea? And I'm like, well, that's kind of like saying, should I just go to eBay to go buy, you know, some stuff? And so I think it's interesting, you know, we have like this fragmented market, right, where you got to go to all these different places. There's, you know, OpenSea is great for secondary transactions, right? But we don't really have like a singular, simple, you know, solution. And the same, you know, crypto has the same problem, right, where we've got, you know, a million different blockchains and different wallets. So I do think we got to take a massive step forward in infrastructure in order for it to work. The flip side of that, though, is that, I mean, how many new kind of like, maybe it's because I've been kind of obviously shifting more towards NFT land, but like, I just don't see tons and tons of new just like crypto protocols and you know, like specifically crypto blockchain focused, you know, stuff being launched. Whereas I still think that we're going to get a lot of NFT projects that launch through the bear market. And so I still think that NFTs are about 10 times, if not 100 times more exciting than regular crypto right now. So I'm optimistic that, you know, things aren't going to just totally die, right? But I do think we need a better infrastructure that makes it easier for people.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen overnight. One thing that we have to bring up is that if you own the 10 KTF Gucci Grail collection, so I'm looking at you, Nick, and some other people, I think, on stage, there's action that we have to take today.
Yeah, I did it.
You already did it. Okay. The question is, do we think that this note or whatever this event is for the Gucci ape is actually going to result in value, right? So we just saw Moonbirds have their fanny pack distribution, and the floor went from like 27 to 20, which is definitely like a sizable dump. It's like a $10,000 dump. And right now, I think that Gucci is at or near an all-time high in ETH terms. I think if you go back to when it first came out and ETH was at $3,000, it probably had higher USD value, but it's definitely at or near all-time high in ETH terms. The question is, like, is it better to hold this through this event? Do we believe that Gucci and 10KTF are going to deliver something that's valuable? Obviously, I'm very faithful in 10KTF and their ability to, you know, guide Gucci, but you just never know with these legacy brands, you know, if you're actually going to get that delivery. Ben, I saw you had your hand raised. I don't know if that was for a different subject or this Gucci subject.
Yeah, Pio, I was actually going to comment on what Node was saying. On the,
sure.
I'm going to stick on. Okay. So one of the things that I think I realized early last year when NFTs were just starting to become a lot more popularized is the people who didn't jump into NFTs right away, who were already involved in crypto and on ETH, a lot of them thought that DeFi was what was going to bring the mass adoption to crypto and ETH in general, and that, you know, the restructuring essentially of like the banking financial systems and lending programs and stuff like that. But that shit is just so boring, right? Like even if that's, you know, where you think the future of this is going and everything. And a lot of the technical development around ETH was, you know, involving things like lending and decentralized finance. But the reason I'm so bullish on NFTs is that even though they're not technically like investments, you can buy and sell and make profit, but it's, if you've had any kind of NFT for a significant amount of time, or, you know, you have it as your profile picture and people start to recognize you, there's such an emotional attachment when it comes to letting go of your NFTs. And it's so different when it comes to like, yeah, I'll buy and sell this shitcoin. But even profile picture projects that don't necessarily have high value in Ether dollar terms still form emotional connections with you that you may not necessarily want to get rid of. So that's why I think that the more people who start to enter NFTs, whether they're profitable or not, they're going to start understanding these connections that we have, not just with the community members and networking that we establish, but what your identity is, you know, what you hold, you know, pieces of art, pieces of, you know, social commentary, essentially. And it's just so much different than, you know, trying to get 5%, you know, returns out of, you know, stable coins or something like that. So this is what I try to explain to people when I'm onboarding them, that it's more than just, you know, dollars, but it's also identity and emotional attachments to these things that if you're not in it, you just don't truly understand.
Yeah, for sure. And like when I think about DeFi, you look at the DeFi wave, it was literally all Ponzi schemes. Like, actually, it was actually all Ponzi schemes, which is crazy. I think the actual future of a DeFi is just going to be like what's happening in the traditional finance, like what are traditional finance instruments or tools, and applying them to this decentralized or crypto world. So I'm thinking about like mortgages. I'm thinking about posting assets as collateral. I'm thinking about cutting out middlemen and making things direct. Look, I've been waiting on a $5,000 wire. I had to do a fucking wire transfer through a bank. Let me tell you what a pain in the ass that is. I've been waiting on it since July 12th because they like left one little thing out. It gets sent to my bank. I call my bank. They're like, we can't find it. I'm like, what do you mean you can't find it? It's like a wire. Then they like, it sounds like they're digging through like an attic and they're like, oh, we found it. And I'm like, what do you mean you found it? I mean, it's like literally a wire transfer going to my account. Like, I don't understand how you're looking through a bag to find a wire transfer, you know? So if anything, you just got to understand, like, I could have sent stable coins if they had let me, or they could have sent me stable coins if they were down to do that, and it taken literally like 25 seconds and it would have been fully on a ledger, you know, where anybody in the world can see the transfer. We wouldn't be looking through a backpack for a $5,000 wire transfer. Signal just raised her hand. What's going on?
No, I just wanted to come back to the point you were making on Gucci Grails and whether whatever they have coming up will be worth holding through this period. And as Quad is on stage, this is a question to you. So when Moonbirds were marketed, sometimes the whole nesting system was really promoted as something which you'll have these special rewards, and there's bronze and there's silver, and think of it like airline reward system. And I really remember this angle being pushed across many of their spaces. And then when the fanny packs came out, all the Moonbirds holders were like, yeah, obviously it's only going to be a fanny pack. The rewards were never going to be a big thing. And then anybody who didn't hold Moonbirds was saying the opposite, that actually we expected more. I was just wondering, like, you know, this is for the Gucci Grail and also for Moonbirds. What were you expecting that would make you hold it through this period? So we've got Gucci Grails at 1.5 ETH, and then we've got Moonbirds at 20 ETH. What could you have received as a reward which would make you want to hold it going forward?
So I think there's a couple things that come into play. The first thing that comes into play is with the Gucci Grail, a lot of people got the Gucci Grails just as an airdrop for being really active in the prod. So you have to take that into consideration when it comes to holding an NFT. Your risk there is you're missing out on profits you could be taking right now. But in my opinion, it's really easy to hold an NFT that you minted that's way above floor. The thing that if you bought in now, I would look at is you're essentially just speculating on Gucci, a premium top tier brand, and 10KTF, premium top tier team, is going to do something that's going to bring value. And so, you know, let's be honest here. Tons of this value is built on speculation for all of these projects, right? And so because of that, I'm going to speculate with people that I think can deliver. So on the 10KTF side, I'm trusting a brand that can stand alone, even if 10KTF didn't do anything, to then take that brand and do things with it that'll bring additional value. On the Moonbirds thing, I think the team's realizing, and obviously even myself is realizing, that maybe that they didn't do as good of a job of just hammering home the communication on how people will be rewarded, right? The nesting reward seems like super easy for people to understand, but I think that, you know, myself, I thought that it was just going to be small little tokens, because I feel like Justin and Kevin in the Discord were like, hey, you know, you just need to be nested to get the big rewards, right? Because they don't want to discourage people from buying on secondary if they then have to hold for a year to get these bigger rewards. So I think that people are confusing nesting as a streak with just nesting in general to show that you're just part of the project and you're ready for the rewards, because the Oddities airdrop was for anybody that was nested. If you bought 5 minutes before this airdrop snapshot, and we didn't know that there was a snapshot, but if you dropped bought one 5 minutes before that, nested it right away, you got an Oddities when it dropped 5 minutes later. So I think that that's really important. And I think the team, has been good at taking feedback so far. So they're going to now listen to this feedback and go, okay, we have to be super, super clear on the rewards moving forward. And I think they'll do that.
Solid way to think about it, Quad. Wappy, you have your hand raised. Anything to add?
I forgot what my hand was raised for. It was raised like a while ago. But on the Mood Birds front, like, I
think... That happens on Easy's show all the time. It's like Easy will throw to somebody and they'll just literally be like, oh, you know what? Honestly, like, I don't even remember what I was talking about. You can go to somebody else. No, go ahead, Wappy.
I didn't really expect too much out of the Silver Nest Rewards, especially out of the Bronze Nest Rewards. And the thing that they cleared up for me like a while ago was, if I have like a platinum nested bird a year from now, why is somebody going to want to buy into this system if they're not going to be at the same like level as somebody who's been around for a year? And they had said like our intention was to never like overly reward those people to the point that it becomes unattractive for other people to get into the ecosystem. So like what Quad said about the oddity thing, I think the people who are upset just don't understand that the mega drops are the good stuff that's going to let you actually extract value out of the NFT hasn't been released yet, and you just need to be nested. It doesn't matter what tier you are. So I'm not that pissed off about it. I'm actually pumped about the fanny pack, but whatever.
Well, I don't think people were valuing the fanny pack at 7 ETH, but that's just how the NFT market is what do I get? What do I get? What do I get?
Well, this is part of the problem with the NFT market is that everybody is so money focused and has set expectations way beyond anything that could be realistic. Like, I'm pretty sure they could have given all of us $10,000 and people would have still been bitching about something. Like, you didn't tell me. I should have bought yesterday. You should have warned me. It's only $10,000. You know, I spent $20,000 on this.
Wappy, did you have to pay for the fanny packs or is it like a free claim?
No, it was literally go on a website, connect your wallet, sign a transaction and prove that you own it, and they ship it to you for free. No money, no credit that's card, awesome. No nothing.
That's awesome. I think that's, you know, even though people obviously weren't thrilled with what the reward was, you know, I don't think that projects making millions and millions of dollars should necessarily be charging the prices that at minimum charge for cost. But you know, when you take in millions and millions, I think that merch, especially since it's, you know, a part of your marketing and branding, like, if you should want people to be wearing your stuff, and you know, some of the expenses of your project should go to distributing merch for free to the holders. Even if you want to try and rationalize based on, you know, how long you've nested or how long you've held some or whatever it is, I love Bored Apes and Yuga, but every time they launch something and I have to go pay like hundreds of dollars for a sweatshirt, it kind of, you know, puts a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. Even though I'm happy to support them in most cases, I still do think that with the amount of money being raised from a lot of these projects, that it's in, you know, everybody's benefit, and both collectors and the project, to be able to, you know, have that free kind of branding.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the Bored Ape merch is that it's actually worth more. In most cases, it's worth more right after you buy it than it was before you bought it. Real quick room reset, ladies and gentlemen. If it's your first time listening, the show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We talk all things NFT market. Pinned to the top is a little tweet from our sponsor, FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app. Cheapest platform to buy cryptocurrency, and clearly in an extremely strong position considering everybody else is going to zero and FTX is literally saving people. They're buying institutions. If you spend over $200 on cryptocurrency, you will get $20 of free crypto deposited into your account. So make sure you do that. They're also adding fractional share stock trading without payment for order flow, as SPF, the CEO of FTX, has bought 7% of Robinhood. You know some really dope shit is cooking, and they sponsor us, Tom Brady, Steph Curry, Larry David, so you know they got good taste. Nick, was there something you wanted to add, buddy?
Yeah, I don't think Voyager would say that they're saving the market. Is now they're coming out and being like, yo, this is fucked up, we're being screwed by FTX. But yo, if you want to get both screwed by and also supported by FTX, just sign up for them.
Yeah, man, survival of the fittest, baby. Shout out FTX. So we have
No. Yo, shout out to boys right there. Yo.
Wappy raises his hand again. I'm bad. If Wappy raises his hand, I just want to throw to him. It's bad. So Wappy, what's on your mind? Then we're gonna get
I remembered why I raised my hand originally, and it was what we were talking about. It's something you said like a few minutes ago about is and titles and stuff like that. I was watching a video last night about like some car stuff, and they randomly started talking about metaverse stuff. And they were basically shitting on all of it. And then when it came down to talking about like mortgages and titles and exchange of all of like actual goods, they pointed towards like if there's constantly scams and people getting shit stolen from them, I'm definitely not going to trust putting my mortgage on the blockchain or my car on the blockchain and the ownership being there. So I think that like when people talk about like I need to be building or we need to do this or that, I think take a step back and build like UIs that make this shit really easy for people and make it like scam proof so you can't lose your house because you signed a stupid transaction trying to mint some dumbass project.
Yeah, I forget. Maybe it was on the YouTube show the other day. We were talking about this and Kix. It was either Kix or maybe it was Ben. Somebody said, crazy idea. What if MetaMask let you know that, hey, if you sign this transaction, all the shit in your wallet's going to disappear? Because think about it, like, what circumstance would you be like, oh, I totally need to sign this transaction so that all the shit in my wallet goes over to this other wallet? Like, that's not something that we do. So it should be like a red flag that MetaMask should tell you, like, hey, by the way, you might want to check this out because if you click on it, you're going to lose all your shit.
Yeah, they're doing that now.
Well, they're... Took long enough. There you go. 2 years later. We got Bell NFTs, Twitter Spaces host herself. Her show is the If You Know, You Know show. She's also a holder of our NFT, the Nifty Portal, and a highly valued member of the community. Bell, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Thank you. Yes, I'm a true OG believer in the Nifty Portal. Absolutely. I was just going to talk about the onboarding process. I think that it even goes further than onboarding just generally in the NFT space, because we have a lot of really good projects that have successfully onboarded a lot of people. I think it goes further than that into being able to retain people and hold them here. A lot of them, 10KTF being a really good one that attracts people from Web2, is the Gucci deal, right? So a lot of people come into the 10KTF ecosystem because of Gucci. Take any of them in case in point. But once they're in, you get their ledger, you get their MetaMask, you get all of these things. And then once they're in, the ecosystem itself for a lot of these projects are really, really difficult to keep up with or know how to maneuver. This one, for example, you have to know that in certain times you have to be following Twitter in order to be able to get into Battletown. The other ones, you have to be, claiming things, because if not, then the window automatically closes on you. So for a person that gets onboarded, I think that a lot of it has to do with the community or the project itself being able to handhold them, as silly as that may sound, but you have to be able to handhold them and walk them through the entire process beyond just the initial onboarding.
Are you in a birdcage?
Well, I was going to say, Bell, everything that you're saying is fantastic. I always love your insight, but it does sound like you're hanging out off hours in a Cuban dance hall. It sounds like
you're I see what you're doing there. You're trying to outflex me with my birds. I'm going to get some fucking flamingos out here, man.
I forget about those damn birds.
It's like a zoo over there.
It's just background noise, but every time that I'm in a meeting, somebody's like, wait, are there birds? Yeah, there are birds. Sorry, okay, I moved.
But everything you were saying was fantastic. I did get distracted by the macaws and the parakeets that were in the background. But no, I mean, look, and I know that you're a big time 10KTF believer and you've done well staking your assets. Like, I feel like the kind of broader market caught on to doing the Battletown staking for 10KTF after the rewards were getting dished out. And I know you got like multiple $1,000 USD rewards for staking early. And everything that you said about onboarding is obviously certainly on point too. So we got Sam Pott on stage, or actually Soul Steve's been waiting. Then we'll throw to Sam. Soul Steve, you've been on the show several times. What's popping, amigo?
Pow, pow. Good to talk with you guys this morning. I was screaming at my phone when you were talking about how painful it is to send wire transfers. I had a situation the other week where I was literally just paying a car payment from my regular bank to the bank that holds my loan. And I did what I thought was a transfer, and it took 10 days. I called them. I'm like, what the hell did this take 10 days for? They go, we cut a paper check and we mailed it. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, I want to go to the bank and strangle somebody just for being, like, completely incompetent. So I totally share your frustration there.
Yeah, they're using the same technology as literally 40 or 50 years ago. That's what people like, do not understand. And yeah, I mean, like, if there's no other, like, look, some people try to push back on Bitcoin when I talk about Bitcoin. Some people like Ethereum. Whatever the fuck you think is going to happen with all this shit, I think that we can agree that money transfer via blockchain technology is just simply like 1,000 times better than the previous technology. I think everyone can agree on that.
Oh, 100%. Totally agree. And the other thing I wanted to touch on quick, we were talking about onboarding, and there was somebody on a little bit earlier, I didn't see who it was, that was talking about Recur and the Nickelodeon drop. The Recur thing's really interesting, right? Because we talk about how do we make this easy. So if, with Recur, you can buy the Recur NFT, which is kind of like a mint pass for simplifying the concept, and then you can mint the other projects, and it's all in one place, right? So it's actually really simple. You can hook up your bank to Recur. You can cash out all of your items right in Recur. It's a one-stop shop, which I think is really, really easy for people to understand instead of this get an exchange, get a wallet, go to a marketplace. But I think the counterpoint to that is obviously the whole concept of decentralization. So I've been talking about this the last couple of days with people. It's like there's somewhere this happy medium between the original concept of like decentralization, crypto, NFTs, but then the easy onboarding of one-stop shop. I'm not sure what the in-between of those two things are, but I think that's somewhere where we need to land here eventually if we're going to keep onboarding and then also retaining, as somebody else said, because I think that's critically important as well. So that's all I wanted to hop on and say. I know we're almost done here today, so thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the stuff takes time, right? And when we're participating every single day, it feels like time's going by slowly, but you look at where we're at compared to years past and, you know, things are definitely moving fast as hell. Sam Pott, repping your clone. Your clones are worth less than 10 ETH now, buddy. Hope you're doing okay. How you doing?
Oh, cheers, Pio. Thanks for the reminder of that, buddy. No, it's all good. We won't worry about that. I was fortunate. I bought the dip NFT NYC time, so I'm still looking okay in USD, but we'll worry about that next week. I just wanted to chime in on the whole, you know, onboarding new people coming into the space and centralized finance kind of getting on board. I was talking to someone that I've met recently who owns a marketing company that's done a lot of the marketing for large ICO launches. And he was, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this so I don't put too much on blast or on wax, but they've just lost a tender for a marketing campaign for an ICO for, he said, one of the top three largest traditional finance institutions. And they were tendering to do a marketing campaign for an NFT platform, an ICO, and a protocol. So he's just found out that they've lost that tender. So just throwing that out there that we might be seeing some traditional finances coming on board and the word NFT and blockchain being thrown around a lot more with everyday sort of people.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely seeing it. My mom was talking about watching like mainstream television and someone was explaining, you know, NFTs from a financial perspective or something like that. And, you know, when you start hearing stuff like that, it's definitely somewhat of an indicator. During the bull run, I would get text messages from like people in my life that I hadn't heard from in years when they found out about like crypto and stuff, or that found out that I was in crypto. And in hindsight, those were all sell points. You should have sold at all those points. So if you start seeing, yeah, Nick, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to back you up on that. Like, generally, by the time that you're getting messages from people about, should I buy into this thing, the answer to that call is always yes, and I have it to sell to you.
Just literally do an OTC deal with them right there. Hey, I'm cutting you a deal, buddy, 5% off.
I mean, generally speaking, that is kind of the case. I mean, like the people who make money in any of these things, the trade has already been made in advance. And they're just watching it play out. Like that's where you want to be in that position. So if you were collecting NFTs early on, then selling to those individuals is always the best place to be. And there's a lot of people that end up making, depending on how much money they have, bigger and bigger bets. And there's a large enough people that are willing to, of like millionaires and stuff, that'll bet with six figures, or higher. But I think that, yeah, it's you always want to front run the the average retail customer, like the banks do. And this is the first time that we get to front run the banks, as they say. And what that means is we get to exploit the consumer the way that the banks usually do. So pat ourselves on the back. We've for those that have sold into the pump, you fully exploited those idiot consumers.
You should feel really good about yourself. In all seriousness, it sounds rude, but it's always good to have like a normie friend that is a counter signal. Like when we dump down to like 19K Bitcoin, $1,000 ETH or even lower on ETH for a little bit, he was like, I'm not buying anything right now. I immediately just opened up my exchanges and started buying both assets. I was like, right now is a good time to buy. Forget about the technicals. That was enough of a technical. So we got Jesse on stage. Jesse, you're being civilized. You raise your hand. What's going on?
Oh, no, I was just going to do one of my normal rants about how NFTs were so uncool. But then I heard you guys talking about fanny packs. So now I'm thinking this could be interesting again, because I got, you know, I need something to go with my jorts and my Ralph Macchio cutoff T-shirt. So now I'm going all back all in on NFTs to the moon, baby.
Dude, you see my tweet? I got so much love repping my fanny pack. Dude, my drip, drop, drip, steez, drippity drip. People were loving it, dude. And I will say this, even unironically, right? Like, I will own the fanny pack, and I will wear it probably more than my Bored Ape hoodies. Like, so some of us are proud to be the minivan driving soccer dads, repping our freaking awesome fanny packs. I'm gonna rep my Moonbird socks, dude. It's gonna be great. So, and in all honesty, though, I will say this, like, there are, like, we're a different crowd, a lot of the Moonbirds, than the apes, for example, right? Like, I look at the apes and they're all like, dude, look at these freaking nerds. And I'm like, okay, I'm not like 21. I don't just sit around and smoke pot all day. I actually have a family. I'm working on, you know, providing for them, doing cool stuff. Like, dude, I'm not concerned about all these, you know, getting chicks anymore, stuff like that, right? So it's just funny.
Is that what apes are all about?
What's that?
Is that what apes are all about? We're just about getting chicks.
Well, are you? Let me see. Is that what you're about, Nick? Or what are you about then?
Wow. Okay, putting me on the spot. This was a broader assessment.
Nick, are you about getting chicks?
Yo,
he's about TA, not TNA. Sorry, but. It's a worthwhile point, though, that he said there is a cultural difference between those two communities. I mean, you know, I think it's still a lot of people are in both, but I think there's something there.
Well, hold on real quick. We were with someone over the weekend that was like, yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not really big into the Moonbird community. And they were talking about how it's like a bunch of guys that, like, you know, really think they're sophisticated. You know, no offense to Sam Potter Signal. You know, there's like some English guys that are like, oh, I bought another bird today. It's just so funny. Like,
dude, we're 100% more sophisticated. We're better than all of you. That's just like done. And we all know that the English accent is superior, dude. Done.
There's something about the birds. They just they go with what I'm trying to do. All right, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. They brought the former CryptoPunk. See, what happened was this goes in cycles. The crypto punks were more elitist and looked down on everybody. And then the apes came in and were like, fuck y'all then. And then added a little bit of, you know, forced the punks to be a little more humble in realizing that they're not just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then what happened was all of the intolerableness transitioned from the punks over to the Moonbirds. And now we're just seeing that play out here. And so now what we're looking for is that counter movement. Who will be that? And if you can figure that out, you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure. So we're up here in a second, but we got Wappy and Bell with their hands raised. I don't want to leave them hanging. Bell, what's on your mind?
I was just going to say next NFT NYC, all the girls are going to be looking for the fanny packs. That's the one I want.
That's right. And people like, no, you're selling yourself short. It's not about the fanny pack. Well, first of all, you rocked a cross body, so you're just looking fresh. But the look on your face in that picture is just like the most badass thing. I think that's what the masses are, you know, responding to. And Nick, were you going to say something?
No, I think they're going to be looking out for those CryptoPunk necklace charms is what they're going to be looking for, PO. So there you go.
That's right. Nick's got big plans for those CryptoPunks. Wappy.
As a 30-year-old with no kids, I love enjoying dancing with nothing in my pockets, so I will be wearing that fanny pack everywhere I go.
There you go. Well, in honor of Wappy mentioning this artist earlier in the day, we're going to close out with a little Fat Boy Slim right here. Ladies and gentlemen, come back tomorrow. This show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The NFT Market and Trade Talk Show. I'm P.O. here at the Coast. Nifty Nick, Signal, Kix, Node, Easy, everybody, Wappy, shout out Bell, Jesse, H-Man, Soul Steve. We will see you next time. We're not going anywhere.
You missed even Quad. What happened to Quad?
Hey, he's go right get there. Some chicks. How about that?